Markets soar into 2026 as politics and power plays trumps economics. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. So this is our weekly market update. We start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. We are seeing a dissolution of the accepted world order post-World War II, based on a hope for peace based on global trade and mutual benefit, back to the power plays of old, where power is all and economics follows political will. British Prime Minister Lord Palmerston, in a speech back in 1848, said, "We have no eternal allies and we have no perpetual enemies. Our interests are eternal and perpetual, and those interests it is our duty to follow. The strong takes what they can, whatever it takes." The renaming of the Monroe Doctrine to Donroe, which is a United States foreign policy position that opposes any foreign interference in the Western Hemisphere, is emerging fast, as we saw this week in the events in Venezuela and, of course, the continuing Greenland saga. I discuss the consequences for investing in this new world with Damien Claston in the live show this week titled "Investing in an Age of Rising Imperialism," because, likely or not, politics will drive markets, especially as the US, based on the military power and on the economic power of the US dollar, collides with the power of China, the world's manufacturer, who has the global supply chains very much under its control, despite the US-imposed tariffs and also a growing military capacity to boot. Defence stocks led weekly advances this week with a near 10% gain, their best showing since November 2020, after President Donald Trump called for higher defence spending as well. Clearly, markets are still trying to get to grips with these shifting sands, but on Friday, the MSCI index gained another 0.53% after hitting a record intraday high, to be up 2% so far this year. The Stoxx 600 in Europe rose 0.97% to be up 2.85%, while the S&P 500 rallied to a record closing high, putting the 7,000-point mark within reach, with 9 of its 11 industry sectors advancing despite December's mixed jobs data, which caused traders to pare bets for a January interest rate cut. The benchmark rose 0.65% to 6,965.99 in New York. It earlier reached 6,977.6. The Nasdaq Composite closed up 0.82%, while the Dow rose 0.48%. Gold topped $4,500 an ounce, and silver was up 6%. Copper prices rose, extending recent gains on renewed bets for a future demand boost, while aluminium hit its highest since April 2022, and Bitcoin rose above 90,000 US to be up 1.89% year to date. The US labour market added fewer than expected jobs in December, just 50,000, though the jobless rate eased to 4.4%, signalling the economy's enduring resilience. November's total was also revised lower from 64,000 initially. The Labour Department's Bureau of Labour Statistics flagged that October's decline in payrolls was revised lower by 68,000 to a loss of 173,000. With the revisions, employment in October and November combined is 76,000 lower than previously reported, a trend that the BLS said resulted from additional information received from businesses and government agencies since the last published estimates, and from the recalculation of seasonal factors, whatever that means. The probability of a quarter-point rate cut by Federal Reserve policymakers later in the month fell to 5% from 11% the previous day and from 21% a month ago. Principal Asset Management Seema Shah said the prospect of a January rate cut was all but vanished, adding, "The US economy likely requires additional support from the Fed, just not immediately." US two-year yields rose to 3.536%, while 10-year notes were at 4.171%. Oxford Economics' Nancy Vanden Houten said she's holding on to her previous forecast that the Fed will not cut again until June. And she also said that she continues to think we are probably in the midst of a jobless expansion, where the economy can grow despite relatively sluggish job gains. Chip stocks rose and helped to boost the S&P 500, with Intel up 10.8% after US President Donald Trump said he had a great meeting with the chip maker's chief executive officer. The US government is proud to be a shareholder of Intel and has already made, through its USA ownership position, tens of billions of dollars for the American people in just 4 months, Trump said in a Truth Social post. Broadcom rose 3.8%, Alphabet added 1%, and Tesla climbed 2.1%, though Nvidia was down slightly, despite Mercedes-Benz saying this week that it will launch a new advanced driver assistance system in the US later this year that lets its vehicles operate autonomously on city streets under driver supervision powered by Nvidia chips. Tesla CEO Elon Musk promised back in 2019 that a year later the electric vehicle maker would have 1 million self-driving cars on the road, but Tesla launched a small robo-taxi trial service only last year, 6 years after Musk's bold prediction. The problem was that cars face billions of potential unexpected incidents, or edge cases, that can easily fool self-driving vehicles. One example often touted by experts is that if a human driver sees a ball rolling into the street, they automatically slow because it might be pursued by a child. But a self-driving car will react only when it sees the child. Tesla rose more than 2% on Friday. Vistra jumped 10.5% after Meta Platforms agreed to buy power from the company's nuclear plants. Meta rose more than 1%. And Lam Research rallied 8.7% to $218.36 after Mizuho raised its price target on the chip manufacturing toolmaker to $220 from $200. It seems that investors are getting granular on AI and picking the winners and losers in terms of sub-themes and individual names. After the jobs report, the dollar initially gave up almost all of the day's gains versus a basket of major currencies, having risen by about 0.2% earlier. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against that basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, was last up 0.26% to $19.14. While investors had been bracing for a possible US Supreme Court ruling on the legality of Trump's tariffs, the court indicated on its website on Friday that it could release decisions in argued cases when the justices take the bench during a scheduled sitting next Wednesday. Traders anticipate heightened volatility across financial markets if the court strikes down the tariffs. At issue is Trump's use of emergency economic powers enshrined in a 1977 law to impose the levies. Speaking at hearings in November, justices from both conservatives and liberal justices voiced some skepticism around Trump's claims. Should the tariffs be reversed, the US government could be forced to issue an estimated $150 billion in refunds of duties already paid by importers. The big news was, by the way, the dramatic fall in the trade balance, which was also delayed, with October coming in down $29.4 billion. That was far better than the expected fall of $58.1 billion, which was forecast. And the second quarter 2025 was also revised lower, all thanks to falling imports and rising exports. So you could say, I guess, the tariff strategy does appear to be working. Mortgage lenders rose a day after Trump said he is ordering his representatives to buy $200 billion in mortgage bonds to bring down housing costs. This would be the backdoor to QE, of course, minus the Fed. Loan depots surged 19.3%. Rocket Companies gained 9.6%, and Open Door Technologies rallied 13.1%. The Philadelphia Housing Index gained 5.7% to its highest since October. Oh, and President Donald Trump on Wednesday pledged in a social media post to stop institutional investors from buying more homes. Some major owners of single-family rental homes were blindsided by the news. Traders immediately dumped shares thought to be exposed. Blackstone stock fell as much as 9.3%, and Invitation Homes, the biggest owner of rental homes in the US, as much as 10%. Trump's edict was light in detail, no surprise there, and the shares paired those losses in later trading, but the message has been sent. And later, Trump, again, perhaps with the midterms in mind, said on socials he wanted credit card interest rates capped at 10%, which would fundamentally change the economic model of credit businesses. So it'll be interesting to see how markets react to this on Monday. Currently, people who pay off their cards religiously are actually subsidized by those paying the high rates on outstanding revolving debts. Bank of America Chief Investment Strategist Michael Harnett is urging investors to rotate within equities rather than reduce risk outright, arguing that the early 2026 setup still favors cyclicals over defensive despite crowded positioning signals. Harnett says the correct first quarter strategy is rotate, not yet retreat, with allocations shifting towards value-orientated cyclicals such as banks, real estate, materials, industrials, small caps and mid caps. Also believes investors should be maintaining but not adding to defensive Magnificent Seven mega caps. The call reflects a market backdrop Harnett describes as a long boom short bubble environment. While sentiment indicators are stretched, Harnett argues that macro conditions still support staying long risk assets. Elsewhere, the Canadian labour market capped off a volatile year. On a tepid note, as a surge in job seekers pushed the unemployment rate higher, despite a modest gain in full-time positions. According to data released on Friday by Statistics Canada, the economy added a negligible 8,200 jobs in December, which signals a cooling period following a robust autumn rebound. The unemployment rate climbed 0.3 percentage points to 6.8%, largely driven by an influx of people entering the hunt for work rather than the wave of mass layoffs. Oil prices rose strongly on Friday for another weekly gain as developments in Venezuela and Iran threatened to disrupt global supplies. Brent futures rose 2.18% to settle at $63.02 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate gained 2.35% to $59.12. Both benchmark prices climbed more than 3% on Thursday, following two straight days of declines, putting the contracts on course for weekly gains of between 4 and 5%. That's the third positive week in a row. Civil unrest in major Middle Eastern producer Iran has added to concerns about global supply following the Trump administration's seizure of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro last week and his claims the US will control the South American country's oil sector. European shares ended on Friday at record highs, powered by a surge in Glencore that helped put the stock 600 on its longest weekly winning streak since May. Glencore jumped 10%, while Rio Tinto fell 2.6%. Rio said on Thursday that it was in early talks to buy Glencore, a deal that would create the world's largest mining company. The gains in Glencore helped the stock 600 climb 1%. Technology stocks led the advance in the stock 600 too and logged their best week in nearly 2 years. Dutch chip equipment maker ASML added 6.8% and was the biggest gainer in the tech index after HSBC raised its price target on the stock. Germany's Infineon rose 2.4%, while ST Microelectronics added 2.9%. Tech shares also got a boost after upbeat fourth quarter results from TSMC, the world's largest contract chip maker. DAX in Germany gained 0.5%. The CAC 40 in France was up 1.4%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.8%. Shares in Anglo American rose 2.7% a day after a filing from the European Commission showed that the miners' deal with Canada's Teck Resources is heading for antitrust clearance in Europe. Sainsbury's reported a fall in general merchandise and clothing sales for the Christmas quarter, with the supermarket group's shares falling 5.3%, but rivals Tesco and Marks and Spencer's both reported strong Christmas food sales on Thursday. On the trade front, European Union member states confirmed a broad majority of them support a planned free trade agreement with South American bloc Mercosur. German industrial production grew 0.8% on the month in November, a significant improvement from the expected drop of 0.6%, suggesting that the Eurozone's largest economy was showing some signs of recovery into the year end. Although British equities closed higher on Friday, the British pound compared with the US dollar, fell 0.2% to 1.34. Most Asian stock markets rose on Friday, with the South Korean KOSPI up another 6.42% after robust earnings forecasts from Samsung Electronics boosted sentiment. Shares in Samsung Electronics jumped after the company forecast record fourth quarter operating profit driven by booming demand for memory chips used in artificial intelligence applications, while rival SK Hynix also climbed to record levels on optimism over its high bandwidth memory business. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 1.61%, while the broader topics rose 0.85%, and the blue chip Shanghai CSI 300 rose 0.45%. The Shanghai Composite traded up 0.92%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index rose 0.32%, but India's Nifty 50 ticked down again another 0.75%. Elsewhere, geopolitical ructions in Asia weighed significantly. A diplomatic spat between China and Japan escalated this week after Beijing outlined some economic restrictions against Tokyo. The two countries remained at odds over late 2025 comments made by the Japanese Prime Minister on military intervention in Taiwan. The Australian share market finished the first full week of 2026 lower as investors rotated out of the major banks and digested Rio Tinto's merger talks with Glencore. In addition, Australian trade data released on Thursday showed the country's trade surplus narrowed in November as exports slipped and imports remained firm, a development that may temper near-term growth expectations for the region's commodity-exposed markets. Australian Bureau of Statistics reported the goods trade surplus contracted to $2.94 billion in November. That was below market forecasts, as shipments of key exports such as iron ore and gold fell. The ASX 200 opened firmer, up 0.4%, but faded towards the session's close to be down very slightly at 8,770.8. The benchmark ended the week down 0.1%. Financials were the main drag as Macquarie fell 1.3% to $206.08. ANZ was 0.6% lower to $35.45. Westpac slipped 0.3% to $37.87. National Australia Bank fell 0.2% to $41.02. And Commonwealth Bank was 0.1% lower, $153.22. Materials also slumped as Rio Tinto tumbled 6.3% to $143.06 after the miner confirmed discussions with Glencore about an all-stock merger. The merger would create the world's biggest miner with a market value of more than $300 billion. Fortescue lost 0.2% to $20.71 and BHP firmed 0.8% to $47.72. Energy registered the strongest gains as Brent crude rallied nearly 5% amid a larger than expected US January inventory decline of 3.8 million barrels and renewed concerns over Venezuelan supply. Woodside rose 2.8% to $23.59, Santos by 3.5% to $6.15, and Beach Energy 2.8% to $1.10. RoneShield jumped 4.4% to $4.02 as it followed a bounce in US defense stocks after President Donald Trump signaled support for a 50% increase in the American military budget to $1.5 trillion. Shipbuilder Austal added 3.3% to $8.06. Codan surged 16.9% to $36.89 after forecasting underlying profit after tax for the December half to be up 52% from rising demand for metal detection equipment. And biotech Mesoblast rallied 4.1% to $3.07 as it reported $35.1 million in gross revenue from Ryoncil sales in the December quarter, up 6% on the prior period. Poker machine manufacturer Aristocrat Leisure advanced 1% to $57.22 as it upped its current on-market share buyback by an additional $750 million over a further 12-month program ending March 5, 2027, taking the total program up to $1.5 billion. Steelmaker Bluestope added 2% to $30 as Jarden valued it at $36 per share in a sum of the parts assessment following its rejection of a $30 takeover bid from SGH and Steel Dynamics. Woolworth rose 1.8% to $30.08 as analysts backed a move to introduce a $2 surcharge on click and collect and delivery orders placed on Sundays and public holidays from February in a bid to offset higher fulfillment costs. Now, as I discussed this week, while the last monthly CPI came in a little lower than expected, the trajectory of interest rates still looks biased to the high side. And in fact, on Tuesday, I'll be running a live show where we'll look in detail at the impact on households down to the postcode level. And you can ask me to look at specific postcodes during the show. Ahead, the key focus in Australia is consumer spending data coming out on Monday. We expect a 0.5% month-over-month rise in November, following a 1.3% increase in October, an outcome that would leave the risk to the upside of our fourth quarter real household consumption forecast of 0.6% quarter-on-quarter, NAB said. In addition, November job vacancies on Wednesday will provide an update on labour demand ahead of the December unemployment figure the following week. And the latest Melbourne Institute Westpac Consumer Confidence Report is set to be released on Tuesday. Finally, on crypto, Bitcoin saw marginal movement on Friday after cutting short a New Year recovery this week, showing really no distinct reaction to the softer than expected December US payrolls data. Bitcoin was last at 90,120 and was trading flattish but up 1.5% for the week, having largely cut short a New Year recovery as heightened geopolitical risk curtailed appetite for crypto. The world's largest crypto largely dithered after failing to retake the 95,000 level over the week. Heightened market caution has led US-listed spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds nursing three straight days of steep outflows this week. Institutional investors took out more than a combined $1 billion from spot Bitcoin ETFs in the 3 days to January the 8th. The trend reflected a sharp reversal from some capital inflows seen at the beginning of the year, with Bitcoin's price, as I said, falling in tandem. Broader crypto prices kept in a tight range on Friday. World number two Ether slipped 0.3% to $3,099. Elsewhere, Polygon surged over 17% after issuer Polygon Labs unveiled a new framework intended to support stablecoin-based payments. And Clear Street analyst Brian Dobson lowered the price target on MicroStrategy to $268 from $443 while maintaining a buy rating. The adjustment comes as MSTR has experienced significant volatility. The stock has taken a 12.84% hit over the past week. The analyst noted that MicroStrategy remains a differentiated and compelling vehicle for leveraged Bitcoin exposure on a par share basis, net of dilution. ClearStrate maintains a long-term bullish view on Bitcoin and believes that MSTR is well positioned to compound shareholder returns, despite the fact that other data indicates the company's overall financial health is probably categorized as, well, frankly, pretty weak. Overseas, the focus next week on Tuesday, in fact, will be the US consumer price data. TD Securities says we'll be looking for core CPI inflation to jump 0.37% month over month in December, with a headline posting a softer 0.34% gain. The report will reflect a meaningful payback after collection issues due to the government shutdown, mired the October and November CPI data. So it'll be interesting to watch. The fourth quarter US reporting season kicks off, with JP Morgan set to report before the opening bell in New York on Tuesday. And it does seem as though the technology sector will be watched closely because, well, some people are expecting a growth of 27% in the fourth quarter, but perhaps that might be a little bit too high. We'll see. Separately, China is scheduled to release December trade data on Wednesday, and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney will travel to Beijing to meet Xi Jinping next week in a bid to reset relations with China. And the point here is we need to continue to watch how markets react to the political dynamics in play. This is now clearly pretty much driving everything, which signals to me more volatility ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.